Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
His blood has washed away our sins. Amen. Friends, it is good to see all of you tonight. We have already done a couple of things tonight. We have worshipped our glorious God in song. We've worshipped Him by singing glorious truths to His throne above. We've worshipped Him in prayer. As we've prayed His word, we've worshipped Him even by reading His word tonight. But now we come to the high point of this service, to the reading and the preaching of God's word. And my desire for you tonight is that you would see Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God. That if you're a believer tonight, that you would be encouraged, that you would love your Savior more. And if you're an unbeliever in this room tonight, my prayer for you is that as you hear of Jesus Christ high and lifted up, that you would place your faith and your trust in Him. But in order to achieve that, we must bow before God in prayer. So friends, join me now as we pray to Almighty God. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, because Your law is perfect, reviving the soul. Your testimony is sure, making wise the simple. Your precepts are right, rejoicing the heart. Your word is sufficient for all life, for all matters of life and godliness. And Father God, our desire is that we would use Your word, that we would know Your word, that we would apply Your word, and that we would glorify You in all that we do. I pray this evening, God, as I stand before this great task of bringing forth Your word, I pray that by the power of Your Spirit, You would empower me. I pray, God, that You'd keep my mouth away from error, that You would glorify Yourself tonight. Father, I pray that as Your word goes out, that it would go out with power, with conviction, with Your Holy Spirit. I pray for Your children in this room tonight that You would encourage them, that they would behold Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God. And I pray for the unbeliever in the room tonight, Lord, that the gospel message would go out clearly to them, that they would place their faith and their trust so that they too can be saved. Lord, we pray for from You and through You and to You are all things. And so please bless this time in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, friends, please turn with me in your own Bibles to Romans chapter 6. And this evening we'll consider verse 1 through 14. Even as you turn there, you'll realize that I'm a bit excited tonight. Well, I'm excited because this weekend has been a great weekend. And if you've been with us since Thursday, you would know something of what I'm speaking about. On Thursday, we came together and we remembered the events leading up to Jesus' death. We came together and we looked at His prayer as He prayed to His Father. On Friday, we came together and we saw Jesus Christ on the cross bearing the sins of mankind. He was killed by sinful man. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus died so that we would not have to die. But friends, this morning we came together again and we heard that Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. Jesus Christ conquered sin. He conquered the grave. He rose again. And tonight, my desire is that you would see this risen Savior. So my title for this message tonight is this. It is the impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And my big idea tonight is this. Those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives. I'll say it again. Those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives. Well, I trust you have found your place in God's word. So won't you look with me in Romans chapter 6. And I'll be reading from the first verse through to the 14th verse. Hear God's word. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Only so far in the reading of God's word. Elizabeth Elliot, a missionary married to Jim Elliot, sets out for what she thought would be a fruitful mission endeavor to Ecuador. A few years later, after the arrival, to her horror, the dream she had quickly turned into a nightmare as her husband was murdered at the hands of those they were ministering to. Amid that unimaginable pain and suffering, Elizabeth stayed with those very people and continued to make known the gospel of Christ to them, because she was impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Corrie ten Boom. Corrie, in her attempt to help Jews from arrest and deportation during the German occupation of the Netherlands, faced grave danger. She was eventually arrested with her father and with her sister after being found out. Corrie had to go through pain and suffering as she saw her loved ones suffer at the hands of the Nazis before they eventually died. However, she would go on to forgive those who had hurt her the most because she was impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul. A man who hated Christ and his people went to great lengths to ravage the church. But he was persecuted and he died for the sake of the gospel because he was impacted by the resurrection of Christ. Friends, those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives. Have you been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If so, can you tell the difference between your life then and your life now? My outline this evening is quite simple. I have 3 points. My first point is this: those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives because they have been baptized with Jesus Christ. Number two, those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives because they have been crucified with Jesus Christ. My third point this evening, we'll look at some application and what it means to live new lives. Let us consider our first point this evening. Those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives because they have been baptized with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1 to 5 of Romans 6 with me. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." To understand this portion of scripture, we must consider the context of this argument. In the preceding verses, Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, Paul states that no man can save himself and that the law certainly cannot. He says that the law given to man by God only increases the guilt and the sin of man, because by it you see just how far short you fall from the glory of God. He says that man can only be saved by grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone. Where sin increases, grace abounded. But this makes way to the question he opens with in Romans chapter 6. And the question is this: Paul, if a man is not saved by keeping the law, but if the law increases sin, and if the increase of sin brings about the increase of grace, should man not keep on sinning? Well, the Apostle Paul answers and he says, no. Paul says, by no means, may it never be. He uses the strongest Greek negative to refute this abhorrent thinking. In verse 2, he says this: by no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Friends, you could not save yourselves. You could not keep the law so that you might be saved. You were saved by the grace of God alone. But that is not license for you to keep on sinning. This is the context of our passage this evening. Now, going to my first point now, which is really starts from verse 3 to verse 5, he says this: do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. All believers, all who have bowed their knee to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Baptized. The word we see in our text this evening, this word is the Greek word for baptizo. And this does not necessarily mean water baptism. In fact, in a metaphorical way, it can be seen as such, as one being immersed in water so that he is fully covered before coming up again, representing what has miraculously taken place in their heart. In fact, you can even think of your own baptism if you've been baptized. The day you were baptized, you were put into the water covered you, and you came up again. That's the metaphor behind this word that Paul uses. However, in its more literal form, the word baptizo in this context connotes the idea of being immersed, the idea of being submerged into something. Kenneth S. Vaist is helpful in understanding this word. He says this. He says, the word baptizo can be understood as the introduction or placing of a person or thing into a new environment or into union with something else so as to alter its condition or its relationship to its previous environment or condition. The word baptizo can be understood as the introduction or placing of a person or thing into a new environment or into union with something else so as to alter its condition or its relationship to its previous environment or condition. It's important that we understand that word baptizo because all of us who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ have been baptized into Christ. This means that we have been united with Christ. We have been fused, as it were, with Jesus Christ. John MacArthur has this to say about this passage. He says this, all Christians have been baptized into Christ Jesus, thus permanently being immersed into him so as to be made one with him. Friends, in a miraculous way, when Jesus Christ died more than 2,000 years ago, you died with him. You were buried with Christ. Why? In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The old had to die so that the new might come. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The idea of walking in newness of life is the idea of walking in a manner that is righteous, that is holy, that is upright, and that is pleasing in the sight of God. A commentator by the name of Charles Hodge summarizes this passage well. He says this, quote, there can be no participation in Christ's life without a participation in his death. And we cannot enjoy the benefits of his death unless we are partakers of the power of his life. We must be reconciled to God in order to be holy, and we cannot be reconciled without thereby becoming holy. End quote. Those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives because they have been baptized with Jesus Christ. That was our first point this evening. Our second point is this. Those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives because they have been crucified with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6 to 11 of Romans 6 with me. Paul says this, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Amen. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The idea is simply this. The old sinful self has been put to death with Jesus Christ. At your conversion, at your salvation, at the point you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, at the point that you confessed that God raised him from the dead, you were crucified with Christ. On Friday morning, we read that Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary was crucified. His hands and feet were pierced with nails. He wore a crown of thorns. He bore on himself the full weight of sin. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was killed. In the same way, when we come to Christ, our old sinful state is killed. What has been killed cannot continue to live. This made me think of early this year, we received a gift. It was a pot plant. And this plant was beautiful. It was vibrant. It was full of green and color. And we thought that we would be able to take care of this plant. To our surprise, a few days later, we started realizing that it began to die. And in our attempt to somehow resurrect this dying plant, we couldn't, and it eventually died. Matsepo told me one day that I've given up on this plant, I'm throwing it away, because it just refuses to live. Friends, this plant got to a state where it couldn't be green. It didn't have color. It had no flowers. It was dead. What it used to be was no longer there. In the same way, when we died with Christ, the old has to die. Those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives because they have been crucified with Jesus. You must bear fruit of righteousness. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You must love others. You must obey his commandments. You must abide in him. You must be faithful to him. There must be a clear contrast of what your life used to be and what it is now. Jesus Christ, in his crucifixion and death, did not only bring about the death of sin, but he also brought about the death of deaths. Verse 8 to 11 says this, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Friends, death with Christ means life eternally with God. However, in this particular passage, Paul has in mind present living. He says, if you are to die with him, then you surely must live for him now. Do not delay it. Do not deceive yourself. Live in obedience to God now. Jesus died for sin once. Death is the result of sin. So to break the power of sin, you must break the power of death. And Jesus Christ did just that. Friends, we are sinners. We have sinned against Almighty God in thought and in our deeds. We have rebelled against God and we stand guilty because of our sin. The sin has consequences. The wages of sin is death. All who have sinned against God deserve to die. I deserve to die. You deserve to die. But God, being rich in mercy, in the fullness of time, sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died a substitutionary death in your place. Jesus died so that you might not have to. Jesus took upon himself the penalty of sin so that we might be pardoned. But he did not stop there. Jesus not only took the penalty of sin, but he destroyed the power of sin. In our fallen state, we can do nothing but sin. We are depraved. Our being from head to toe is tainted by sin, and we are under enslavement to sin. We are under bondage to sin. But Jesus broke the power of sin in his death. Therefore, our penalty of sin has been paid, and we have been set free from its power. But here's another glorious truth, that death happened once. This victory does not need to be repeated. Jesus Christ died once and for all. He does not need to come again to die for a second time. Do you remember when you were saved? Your old sinful state died with Jesus Christ. Friend, how are you doing in killing your sin? You were baptized with Jesus Christ. You were crucified with him, and you have been resurrected with him. As we reflect on his resurrection tonight, let us be reminded that he resurrected our lives. We were dead in sin. And God caused us to be dead with Christ so that we might be resurrected with Christ and live lives that bring praise and glory to his name. Those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives because they have been baptized with Jesus Christ. That was our first point this evening. Our second point was this: those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives because they have been crucified with Jesus Christ. Now, for our third and our final point this evening, we will consider some application. And we'll see this in Romans 6 from verse 12 through 14. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Believer, present yourself to God, for you have been brought from death to life. Sin must not reign in you. It must not abide. It must not reside. It must not take root in your life. Do not obey the passions of sin and your flesh, for you are a new creation. Behold, my friend, the old has gone and the new has come. Cling to Jesus Christ. I'm in no way suggesting that we will achieve or attain sinless perfection. In fact, MacArthur says this. He says this: in this present life, sin will always be a powerful force for the Christian to reckon with. But it is no longer master, no longer Lord, and it can and it must be resisted in this present life. Sin will always be a powerful force for the Christian to reckon with, but it is no longer master. It is no longer Lord, and it can and it must be resisted. How do you do this? Well, you do this by not presenting your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Because you have been made alive in Christ, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to resist sin, to flee from it, to mortify it. Friends, we must understand that the Apostle Paul, in giving this command, is suggesting that sin passes through our will. When we sin and let sin reign in our mortal body, we allow ourselves to sin. He says, instead of that, present yourselves to God. If you have been a Christian long enough, I'm sure you will certainly know that we continually fight with this body of sin. We, like Paul, cry and say, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Nothing good dwells in our flesh, and we are constantly at war with its passions. But here's a practical application for us to presenting ourselves to God. Number one, by way of application, may we devote ourselves and commit to prayer. May we pray daily. May we pray like Jesus and say, "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." Friends, we need God. I need God. We need Him to strengthen us on a daily basis. Without His power and strength, we will keep falling into sin. Number two, as a way of application, read your Bibles. These two applications made me think of a Sunday school song that I used to sing growing up. And I'm sure some of you might know it, but I won't sing it. But it went something like this: read your Bibles, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. Well, those simple truths, friends, are true even tonight. If we are to be impacted by the resurrection of Christ and live lives that bring praise and glory to His name, we must pray that He would strengthen us. We must read our Bibles so that we might grow, grow, and grow. What about the unbeliever? Before the unbeliever in the room tonight, I want us to note something else, actually. Paul ends with a triumphant declaration that I also want to apply for the believer's encouragement. He says this: sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Friends, the law could not save you from sin, but the grace of God has delivered you, and the grace of God will sustain you. Amen. What about the unbeliever in the room tonight? If you are an unbeliever tonight, I have a different story for you. Friend, you are still dead. You have not experienced life, and you are a slave to sin. Your path is leading you to an eternity of destruction in hell. You were born with sin, and you are in sin. Because of the first man, Adam, you are separated from God. Because of your willful disobedience toward God, the punishment of God is headed your way. If you die tonight in this state, you will spend eternity in hell, rightfully paying for your sins. However, good news is on offer for you tonight. Jesus Christ died so that you might be freed. Jesus Christ died in your place so that you might have life eternally. The call on your life is this: place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ so that you might be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Believe in the resurrection of Christ so that you might receive new life. Those who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ must live new lives. Let us pray. Father God, thank you because your word is true. And even tonight, as we have looked at glorious truths of who you are and how you've revealed yourself to us, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would translate your word into our minds, that you would transport it into our hearts, that you might help us by the power of your Spirit to apply the word that we have heard tonight. If we have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, may we live new lives that bring much praise and glory to your name. And God, I pray for the unbeliever tonight, that by the power of your Spirit, you'd convict them of sin, that you'd show them Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, all for your name's sake. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.